It was like watching Tom Brady, like, just throw the worst pass of his life. We know Tom Brady's a good football player, but to see him do that, it, like, none of us are like, oh, she doesn't know how to sing. She doesn't know what she's doing. We know she's phenomenal. So it's even more shocking to watch it happen, because there was just, it was just the moment. This was the moment. This was the moment, and it flew away from her.
It was the moment that wasn't the moment, and we all had a moment.
We all had a moment.
That's literally what happened.
Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God, is it Yannick Encarnacion?
Yeah.
The Renaissance man, what's up?
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, this has been a long time coming. You've been a long time, it's like first time caller, long time listener.
That is exactly who I am. When I first knew that I was going to room with you eventually, and I knew you had a podcast, I immediately looked up the podcast.
Aww. Yeah, see?
So I've been like a 2 year span, basically. It's great.
Well, I mean, we do go back to the darkest times of COVID. Well, welcome to the Hunty House. You are always welcome. And you've heard a lot more of Whispering Hunties than probably anyone besides my family.
Happy to be in that category. Oh my gosh, it's been so fun watching what you've done with the podcast, and it's just gone so many different ways, and with all the new drag races coming out every single month, it's been crazy. So great job.
Oh my God, it's been a labor of love. It's been a journey, and I think that when you're on a journey, sometimes you take breaks, which is what I had to do, and now I feel great because I can watch drag content like Queen of the Universe, and I can just enjoy it. But before we do that, tell us about yourself, because I know that, you know, being an actor in New York City, you're just so busy with all the plays and TV shows that you're in. But let the world know a little bit more about Yannick.
I've been living in New York for 3 years. I have a very interesting heritage. My dad is German and Portuguese, and my mom is Bolivian. I just pick up on whatever culture I feel in the day. No, but it's really brought me to this place where I think that I've really appreciated being in New York with all the different people that are here. It's made me feel more at home than I've felt anywhere else that I've lived.
I totally agree. And I think it's just because it's okay to be different here.
Right, exactly. Because I always lived in these places, like, I moved from Iowa. And before that, I lived in Kentucky. And before that, I lived in, you know, Rhode Island. So I lived in all these very, very white places. And so I always felt like I had the secret at home. Not that I was, afraid of it or like embarrassed of it, but I always felt like othered by it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And especially because I grew up pretty American, but also with all these cultural things that I celebrated, you know, every single year of my life, and places that I went and relatives that didn't speak any English. And now that I came to New York, I'm embracing it so much more, I think, in a way that has made me feel more confident with who I am, but in ways that have nothing to do with culture. It's weird. Like, I'm just a more confident person knowing that there are other people like me around me.
So people like to say that for queer people, drag race is like our football. And you come from a sports podcasting background. So watching Queen of the Universe with you, it was a fun experience because when the moments get really, really tight, it's just like watching a football game and everyone's like, no, 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 we can't believe this is happening.
That's exactly what it's like, right? They're both competitions. There's a lot of stakes. We love to see in both sports and, you know, drag competitions, as you've introduced them to me since we moved in together, is the drama and the emotion and the heart and the passion and all of the work that these people have put in to do what they love. So I watching Queen of the Universe It's not much different than watching the World Cup. Less people watching. That's about it. But it's all these multicultural people on stage that are just there doing what they love to do. And so I get into it. You heard me earlier. I was hollering. Might as well have scored a goal there. It's crazy.
We were hip hollering around. Our poor roommate was on the phone and we were just screaming along to Queen of the Universe.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
Are you an admirer of art? Do you want to know the creators of the art you love today? Then you should listen to the Postmodern Art Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to giving artists who are wowing the world over the platform they deserve. Sit down with your favorite artists as they discuss their passion.
I couldn't have lived without art, I don't think. It's like my whole life.
Hardships.
My payment before was like around $50 a week.
What? Heartfelt moments.
I recently actually got a message about some of my drawings and somebody saying, oh, my kid really, really appreciated those. And they've been drawing ever since she started doing those things. And that makes me feel really good.
And some fun in between. You gotta make me tear up already.
Good cry.
The Postmodern Art Podcast. New episodes every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and most podcast platforms.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time. We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. So this is a little bit of a different episode because normally we talk about Drag Race, but Queen of the Universe is this new phenomenon. So if you haven't been watching, it's only 6 episodes. So just get into it because you can do it in a weekend. That's what I did. I was like, I can't even be bothered to do it week by week. And I was like, we're just going to watch a couple episodes and see how we do. We watched the first episode and it was like, what the hell is this show? I didn't realize that I wanted to hear drag queens sing because every time it happens on RuPaul's Drag Race, it's like the worst thing known to man. And it was so welcoming because there was literally a queen from as many parts of the globe as you could squeeze in, where I think there is enough of a queer culture to like put forth a representative.
Right. It was amazing. Like I said, I've been watching Drag Race more and more. And by that, I mean at all, since we were introduced. And it's always so great. But there was something about so many, and not just talented, but varied singers in drag culture that was so exciting to hear the range that we got to listen to and the styles, combined with all of the different kinds of personalities that you normally see in a drag competition. It just felt right. It just felt so right.
It was almost like the United Nations of drag. You know, we had a little bit of China, a little bit of Norway. We had South America with Brazil and then Mexico as well. Then we had Canada and then we had the US and, you know, and then we had England. It was just a little bit of everything. And I really enjoyed that because, you know, sometimes when you're watching like a drag race in just one country, you're only really getting one side. But I think that there's almost a universal experience that people from a marginalized community, wherever they're from, and it's so beautiful to see how they can all meet up on this show and just get along.
Right, exactly. And it almost felt, maybe it's because it was also, you know, more of a shortened edition of a drag competition. But it did have this feeling, right, of even in the first episode going through where you were saying, man, it's just an achievement to be here. This is such an amazing community of individuals that are just on the stage And like, who cares who goes through? I mean, of course, we want to see who the queen of the universe is, but just so fun to watch everyone.
I've never seen so many people just beat themselves on the back for showing up. They're like, oh my God, this is so great. And like, it's episode one. Calm down. Like, you need to at least show us that you can win something. And I do think that I love how this show is an extension of Drag Race. On Drag Race, there's charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, which spells. And then on this episode, we have a little wob action that courtesy of Cardi B, and it's what they're wearing. It's their all-star attitude and then also their performance. So I feel like we are both celebrating women and we're celebrating Drag Race.
No, absolutely. I think it was the perfect move. And I think it kind of speaks to the differences between this show and a RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag Race has been so much more about some of the cattiness and some of the fierce ferocity of competition. And I think Queen of the Universe was more of that, you know, performance and attitude of I'm an all-star and I'm here and it's just so great to be here.
It very much did feel like an all-star season. And I will say that probably for a lot of these queens, they already had to have had some sort of career on their own, even before getting there. I was looking up Sushant, and Sushant was basically in their version of like American Idol in India. And was one of the first queer people to get a golden buzzer. So it wasn't American Idol. It was probably like X Factor.
Yeah, like India's Got Talent.
Yeah, like India's Got Talent. And then also had a slight acting career. So these people are performers in their own right. They just haven't found their way onto a show like this. And I think that's probably how like Ada Vox ended up coming from like American Idol and onto this show. They were like, oh, you know, there isn't always a space for a performer like this to compete because they're in their own category. I'm not saying the only, but in terms of like famous people who've been on these TV shows, there's like Courtney Act, who was like second place in Australia way, way back in the day. There was another drag queen that was Austrian that used to have a beard and then used to wear like a lot of like flamboyant garbs. And then there's, what's the other one? Adore Delano also went pretty far. Adore Delano made the semifinals. But in terms of getting the crown, it's really hard to say that there's like, you know, that singing drag queen that like does it all, unfortunately, at this point in time. Mm. Until now.
Until now. And we were so excited to see it.
I know. Who, in your opinion, did you want to go like further into the competition, but like basically they like petered out right at the beginning?
I mean, Biddy Bitchslap.
Oh, Biddy Bitchslap.
Obviously, Biddy Bitchslap was so good. It was fantastic.
And it was like, they didn't like her tights.
No, yeah, they didn't like her tights and they didn't think she went far enough.
But the body was there. The song sounded good. It was just like slightly boring, but like you could tell that like give Biddy Bitchslap a Kings of Leon, like maybe some Fallout Boy, like something with some rock, and Biddy Bitchslap could have killed that.
She could have killed it. And I think she only needed that one note to really embrace what she was probably already an all-star at. Mm-hmm. She probably was a little timid going into the first song. And I definitely understand that. But then to not even give her another chance to wow you. I mean, I could have seen her going the whole way. I was really disappointed.
I agree. Especially with that aesthetic. It was so different.
Yeah.
And I mean, she basically did a juju. She came in there and sang like the tiniest song that she could sing with that big old voice of hers. It just wasn't good. It's not going to measure up. These queens came to slay. So if you did not, go home.
Exactly. I mean, that's true. And there were so many great performers. I'm honestly thinking like you said that question. I was like, I mean, there's like four or five that didn't make it to the final three that all should have been there. But it's only a final three. So I guess not.
It's like, it's a 6-episode series. And the first episode was 2 episodes long.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy. I remember we were watching it and it was like, oh, is there only 7 performers? It's going to be a quick one. It's going to be quick out.
I think it would have been fine if they just used less performers. Like, I don't know why they were like going to all these lengths to like make it 14 people, but then they like only had. Okay. Here's a theory. Maybe they got the 14 performers, but they decided that they wanted to like go big on the prize money. So you can't have a $250,000 prize and 14 contestants.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And this is the other thing that we haven't talked about yet. The prize money was ridiculous. $250,000?
Oh my gosh, amazing. And some of these people that come from different countries are like, That's $1 million in my country, bitch.
Well, of course it doesn't go as far, but like $250,000 American dollars in certain countries could last you 2 to 3 years. You know, you could buy a house, you could pay off your debt, you could, you know, and I mean, I don't know what the tax situation was, but I was like, that's a hell of a lot of money considering that RuPaul's Drag Race is still under $1,000. And on the international seasons, they can't even get the money enough to get big prizes. So they go from country to country, and sometimes the prize is like $10,000 or something like that, or 10,000 euros, or it doesn't measure up. And so the only really high paying series have been like the United States and then Canada's Drag Race now, because apparently in Canada, they can't tax you.
There you go. Another reason Canada is a great place to be.
Oh, well, I don't know if they can't tax you, but you know how like in America, if you win $100,000, they tax you like at least half?
Yeah.
So in Canada, you get that money.
That's so nice.
And maybe you file your taxes later, but they don't have that like, there's like a winning games tax or something like that. I mean, I'm not going to look it up because, you know, I'm not going to win $100,000 on like some reality TV show yet. But when I do, I'm going to know the tax law.
You're going to know the tax law. And when they say $250,000, you're going to be like, actually, it's only like 10,000. But, you know, I'll let you say the big number so everyone can feel lied to.
It's ridiculous. So let's talk about this actual episode, because we start off and all of a sudden we've been, I mean, yes, it was Christmas. Yes. You know, it's holiday season. It's still winter. New Year's just happened, but I kind of felt like watching a Christmas special was not what I needed at the end of a vocal competition.
Yeah, it felt a little weird. It felt like that should have been like the second episode where like, let's do something cute to see your personality because we didn't really get to see it yet.
Yeah.
But to see these three finalists, they all played it safe. All three of them played it safe. Like, I mean, I think that, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer number was phenomenal. And that was great. And that, I think, was the one that didn't play it safe.
Wait, who did that one? Oh, yeah, Aria.
That was Aria, yes.
Aria B. Cassadine.
Aria B. Cassadine. But, you know, Grad Queen and Ada Vox, they did what they do. And so it just, you know what it felt like? I didn't learn anything after that round. No one did anything to, like, put themselves higher or lower. So we just waited for like the second round. We were like, okay, great. It was Christmas. Great.
Well, I'm sure that there were kind of restrictions on what they could sing because, you know, Christmas music is very expensive, as is like birthday music and certain, you know, pop divas and whatnot. Even if you're doing a cover, like you still got to pay the licensing fees. But I mean, Grad Queen came out and I was just like, what is this? It was Jingle Bell Rock?
It was Jingle Bell Rock.
I was like, this is... I don't want to use the word slutty, but I was like, this is the most sex-filled version of this song I've seen in my whole entire life. The dancers were just gyrating. It was as if they had just waited for the whole of COVID quarantine, and then they had just learned that choreography, and it was the first time that they were allowed to shake their hips in public. And so shake their hips they did.
Yeah. You know what it felt like? You know that scene from Mean Girls? They also use Jingle Bell Rock when they dance on the stage.
Yes.
That's what it felt like. It felt like they got to take that number to the whole new level.
Yes. Like if it wasn't at a high school, like this is how you'd actually do it. If it was like some sort of
sorority party or something, like let's go.
I mean, no, it felt like they were going for burlesque, but like...
There was those two dancers up front just like doing the hips for like 2 minutes. That's all they were doing.
They were doing the most. And actually, I do think that the dancers need to calm down because half of the queens were not dancers. They just kind of stood there and sang ballads. So, you know, I think there were a couple moments in this season. I don't think you watched this episode, but there was one where this one queen was there and everyone was dressed in gold and she just had two hot men just stand there the whole time. And it was... amazing. And sometimes you just need something pretty to perform next to and you don't need to do like the whole thing, which is where I think poor Aria B like didn't really do well when she was singing Rudolph, which is when she just came out by herself in a tuxedo situation and just kind of was like tap dancing around in those like, you know, kitten heels, which I guess were tap shoes. Do you think?
If they were, that wasn't clear enough. She should have tapped then. I'm sorry. If they were tap shoes, I wanted to see a little more tapping.
She was tapping with her voice. I mean, obviously she was doing what sounded like, they said it was a Temptations cover, but it reminded me more of listening to Smokey Robinson, even though the lead singer of the Temptations for a while did sound a lot like Smokey Robinson. But it was just so athletic and like all over the place, but while being slinky and sexy, I was like, where's the gown to match that?
Absolutely. Yes. If you're going to be on stage alone, your outfit has to say, I'm big enough. And that outfit didn't. And it didn't matter what she did with her voice, because it was just so, it was so limited in scope because of the tuxedo look.
Mm. I don't want to shame any drag queen for not dressing up like a femme woman all the time.
Yeah.
That outfit, androgynous as it was, for me, didn't really highlight Aria in the same way that she's looked in the rest of the competition.
Absolutely.
Like wearing pants didn't feel profound at that moment. And I wish it had.
And I would have had no problem with the tuxedo. And we said this when she came out, if she had just ditched the hat and done something with her hair a little bit, you know, use that as the centerpiece then.
I know Michelle was like, just a pussycat wig would have changed everything.
Exactly. It would have.
A little wop wig would have been beautiful. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, Ada Vox came out and gave us a beautiful, just slinky, simple, hit your notes number. And I was like, that's how you do it. You know what I mean? Especially at the finale, you got to save your big number for the second song, but you have to show your, you have to show your like gravitas in the first song. So I think she made a wise choice there.
You know, we'll talk about it a little later. I don't know which of her numbers was better, which I don't know if that helped her because she did so well in the first one.
Oh, you mean it's because she did two ballads?
She did two ballads. Yeah.
And so it's not impressive to hear it
again.
You're right.
And then it almost felt like, oh, we have to now compare the two because they're the same thing. And you didn't, I don't know if I saw enough growth for there to be a two ballad step.
Oh my gosh. You sound like my, we've both been taking a lot of like different like musical theater classes, and literally what the coaches are always going to say is like, okay, so what do you have in your book? Oh, a ballad. Okay. Oh, and another ballad? And you're like, no, this one's more up tempo. And they're like, oh, a driving ballad?
I know.
And so it's like, you got to do more. I mean, one of Ada Vox's best moments is when she sang Lizzo. So it's like, you know that she can do more with her voice. She just needs to put herself out there and know that, like, you know, it's not always balanced. I mean, most of pop music are up tempo. It's like, oh, people just want to get drunk and dance. So if you can't double the beat underneath it, I don't know if you should do it. If you're going to do anything, you need to pick a song like the song that... Sorry. You need to pick a song like the song that Aria tried to sing and didn't do it successfully. Or the one that... But the drag queen had to sing as well. Now, if you haven't watched this, like, do yourself a favor. I don't care who's paying for this Paramount Plus situation or wherever you are in the world. But you have got to watch this episode of Queen of the Universe, because it's like how the mighty have fallen to see Aria B. Cassadine walk out there and give us the most beautiful Temptations rendition. You know, I mean, the outfit wasn't there, but everything else was there in that performance. And then to walk out and sing whatever that song was, it was something about like, I don't have time. This is my time.
This is the moment.
Okay. She had a moment during that moment, and that moment took her from in key to out of key. And it happened right at that, you know, juxtaposition of energy in the song when she was switching from her chest voice to more of her head voice. And it was like, it was a car crash, you know?
It really was.
Like, we were just sitting there being like, what are we listening to? Michelle Visage and Leona Lewis are literally like, oh no. the world stopped. And not for a good reason. And poor thing, it was nerves, because the body language in that moment was the same as her very first song, which he also was a little, you know, pitchy.
I still can't believe I have very rarely seen that in the finals of a competition. I've seen that in competitions plenty, where someone just loses it and doesn't get it.
Oh, yeah. At the auditions, for sure. That way, oh, my God. That is my favorite thing. There's nothing like a musical theater audition where the person that just walked into the room is wild. And you're just sitting there being like, all I got to do is walk in, smile, and do the simplest thing I know moderately well, and they may call me back.
Absolutely. I just need to show them that I'm not a liability on the stage with whatever I'm about to do right now. And they're going to call me back if I look right for the part. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And a car crash is the perfect way to put it, because I couldn't look away, but it was heartbreaking. It really was. Mm-hmm. It was tragic.
Well, it was tragic, but you know that she's so talented. I mean, when we were watching her sing the beginning of that song and then also Rudolph and the crazy things that she did throughout the rest of the season, I mean, she's a shoo-in for any Kinky Boots tour if they know what's good for them, as long as she can learn the choreography. But she already has that like natural muscular build that you might want from the person that's singing that. And then with the diva, you know, with the diva notes that she can produce, oh my God, she's phenomenal. This was not the best end to an audition, but the show was an amazing audition for that type of role in a performance context.
Absolutely. And like, I think that's what made the performance for me all the more shocking. It was like watching Tom Brady, like, just throw the worst pass of his life. We know Tom Brady is a good football player, but to see him do that, it like, none of us are like, oh, she doesn't know how to sing. She doesn't know what she's doing. We know she's phenomenal. So it's even more shocking to watch it happen, because there was just, it was just the moment. This was the moment. This was the moment, and it flew away from her.
It was the moment that wasn't the moment, and we all had a moment.
We all had a moment.
That's literally what happened. And then the thing that happened this episode that I did not expect to have happen, because it's not that I wasn't rooting for Grad Queen. I just think that, you know, the name was a little hard to say sometimes. So maybe I was just like a little predisposed to be like, I don't know if I want her to win, because now I have to talk about her for 2 years or whatever. But when she started singing Rise Up, I remember when she dropped that note, like, mountain, you moved in your chair.
You had a moment. I had a moment.
She had just started the song. And when Leona Lewis was like, yes, and when she flipped up into her super high falsetto, and then Michelle Visage got up and the crowd got up, I don't think anyone in the room didn't know that Grad Queen had won Queen of the Universe. And she'd won, like, flawlessly. Because, you know, the Jingle Bell Rock was like, whatever, but it wasn't bad. And what she was able to come up with right at the end, the growl.
Oh, the growl, the growl. Ugh.
And then the slide up into the higher register flawlessly. It was like John Legend has a drag baby. And then Andra Day was like, hey, I'm just going to like teach them how to sing up top too. And that, I think, is what's so transcendent about drag, that you can get the full, you know, baritone to you know, mezzo register in one performance. Insane.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and it came right at the right moment. And how ironic is it that in a finals where we hear just like an inability, like a moment where someone is unable to hit a pitch, that Grad Queen goes out there and slides perfectly between octaves, like not missing a single note.
Perfectly in. Because she was sharp on like episode one, right?
Yeah, absolutely she was. Absolutely she was.
She was pitchy during her first performance. And we were both just like, who's this queen? I'm not feeling it. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I do have to say that, you know, performing in a convention center like that can be really hard, because, you know, sometimes the room is carpeted and there's no like natural echo in the room. So you really have to trust yourself and then sing out and just know that you know the pitches well enough to stay on track. And sometimes, because you get such little feedback, you push twice as hard. And so I felt that moment happen for Aria, but I'm telling you, whatever drag queen said to herself, she stayed grounded during that song. And it was so enriching. And then we got to hear Queen of the Universe, the song, live.
The best part of the show. That just showed me that this show is here to stay. To have the winner sing the theme song, that's like encompassing the world of Queen of the Universe. It was amazing. I loved it. We cheered.
I know. Oh. And that song is good.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. I added it to my playlist to listen to in the morning. It's so good.
I mean, that's what I want to wake up. Like when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should get up. And it's like, she is the queen of the moment. And you're just like, okay. Yeah, I am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm gonna take this day down.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Well, I didn't expect to like this show. I thought that maybe, you know, the drag quiz powers, the drag quiz. Who says that, first of all? Second of all, I thought that maybe the drag race powers that be had, you know, lost their luster, didn't know what they were doing. But I love Graham Norton as a host. Michelle Visage killed it. Leona Lewis is a goddess. Vanessa Williams, like, never didn't slay. And Trixie Mattel actually is like the secret weapon. You can put her to do anything, and she always has a joke. So this, to me, was like an amazing panel. Like, I now want to get, can we get like older season drag queens like onto RuPaul's Drag Race, just a little more on the panel, just so that they can laugh and have fun with it. And you know, when the judges come for them, they can say, but I do that professionally now and no one's going to read me for it. So why are you reading them?
It felt like some of the things I don't like about Drag Race were corrected in this show. And it kind of felt like, why would I want to watch the other show before I watch this one? I like this one more. I don't know.
The coolest part about it was that everyone knew their choreography. And like, I will always say this, Drag Race is an amateur show, but we want to see professionals. And so it was nice to see these queens, as much as they could, give us professional performances, you know, number after number. Even if they were struggling with it because they just learned them, it was nice to see them get close to a professional's level, because ultimately they're kind of auditioning to do that for the rest of their lives or for the next, you know, journey of their life until the next thing comes around. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, I think there's already a season two. I looked in Google and people are already looking it up. I don't know how they're going to come up with another $250,000.
No idea. That was all of
maybe
their
the
money.
Distribution plan for this show. Well, I just kind of think that because it's international, maybe they sold it to like a lot of different TV stations. And so together it's $250,000. It's not just like Paramount, unless for season 14, the prize is $250,000. Mm. Like, you can't mess around with that type of money. Athletes don't win that at tournaments.
That's true. They don't. $250,000 is great to all of them. And you know how we knew that it was a lot of money? Because when they said the money, you know, sometimes you get a surprise and people are acting surprised, like, oh my God, that's so great. They said $250,000. Yeah. Everybody was like, okay, all right, that's a lot of money. I'll kill you for that.
Literally. I mean, that's probably the only thing that made Aria mess up. She's like, oh my God, look at that money. Like, I don't know if that's going to come back to me like very soon. But I'm looking very forward to season two. I can wait all year if it just happens once. I don't need a singing drag queen of every country. I just need one show a year. And that will be my like Christmas treat. And the gag of it all is that in England, they still don't have a monetary prize for Drag Race. And yet they could afford $250,000 for a 6-episode season where they like almost booted the only British contestant on like episode 2. And they brought her back to then kick her out again.
Yikes. It's definitely going to, you know, pose some questions to Drag Race going forward. That amount of money cannot be awarded without being explained later on. So we're going to see very quickly what the hell that is. They can't just offer $250,000 and then go down. That's the starting point. Like, where are they going to go from there?
I know.
Like, I have no idea.
And if you can find $250,000 for a contestant on a show that's filmed in London, you can find £10,000 for a drag queen to win your Drag Race.
Yeah.
Not even like 100, just 10,000 pounds, something. 50 quid.
50 quid? I say 50 quid. We're not doing this anymore.
I love how I went from like 10,000 to 50, but I was just like, just a little something. Just a little something so that she could like, you know, pay her cab fare. You know, I'm sure she does get like a living wage or whatever, but it's just not the same. And that makes me really upset.
It's true. It's true. But it was so much fun to watch.
Yannick, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad to share this part of my life with you. You were the best roommate, an amazing friend, and such a talented creative person. We do like to make sure that on We're Spring Hunties, people are able to, you know, find you, stalk you, lift you up in a consensual manner, you know, maybe slip into those DMs and let you know that you look amazing. Where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up in a consensual manner?
Oh, well, thank you so much for that consensual platform to brag about myself. I will do it now. I can be found mostly on Instagram. That's where I live and breathe. You can find my personal account. It's at Sonic Yannick. I'm going to spell my name because it's a little complicated. I get people like to add letters. So that's Y-A-N-N-I-K and then the number 11, Sonic Yannick 11. And then you can follow, if you're interested in sports like I am, you can follow the Two Beers Please podcast. Me and my friend Matt do a episode every week. We're starting back up next week after a hiatus over the holidays. And that's just like it sounds, Two Beers Please_podcast. We do talk about some culture too. And if you listen to next week's episode, you might hear some talk about Queen of the Universe as well. Just tune in.
Work. Oh my God. We're bringing people together. And is that thing that you did on Amazon? Has it started screening yet?
Yes. City and the Beast is, you can look it up on Amazon Prime. It's this little TV web series that I was in. And episode 2 is out now. And I play this nice little tatted rock star. So come check it out.
Oh my God. You are a rock star. Stop. No, but thank you so much. Everyone, it's that time of year again. Season 14 will debut next week, and I'm not ready for it, but I'm sure I will be, because every time that I think that I'm going to fall out of love with drag, it just keeps bringing me back for that charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, and that WAP, honey. So we'll see you next week, y'all. Please stay well. Do not catch Omicron. And if you do, stay home and don't touch anything.
Don't touch anything,
because that's been a journey as well. But that being said, we'll see you next week, and bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.